Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. Myself, Blake Arney, alongside former Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper John Kempen here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the home of Sporting KC Soccer, and on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. And make sure, if you haven't already, follow Sporting KC all over socials, Instagram, Twitter, X, it is now, John, Facebook and TikTok, wherever you are. John, it's been a beautiful day today, and I was coming into this, I was going to ask you if you've gotten out and been able to golf at all recently, but from the sounds of things before we came on air, a little sneak preview into what we talk about before we come on air, you did get out and golf today, so you're a lucky man, I got to say that.
I knew you were going to sneak that in there. Yeah, I mean, it was 75 and sunny here in Kansas City. You got to get out and play some golf. I'm not the greatest golfer in the world, but I definitely enjoy playing. You know, a lot of like sporting players play golf as well. It's fun to just kind of get out there and enjoy it and smack the ball around.
So what's the most, I guess, strongest point of your game? Are you good off the tee? Are you good around the greens, or none of the above?
Well, yeah, probably none of the above, you know. Didn't play as great as I would have liked to today. I'm getting better.
It's still early in the season.
Yeah, I probably today was my chipping. My chipping was pretty good. I need to work on the driver.
That's fair. I wasn't able to get out today, John, but I'm a little jealous of the fact of how beautiful of a day it was. You got to get out, but it sounds like your outing may not have been the best, but for Sporting Kansas City, their outing in LA this last weekend wasn't too bad. A 0-0 draw, still undefeated on the season. John, as we know, SKC, 2-1-1 draws to start the year, a tough 1-1 draw at home that they felt like they deserved all 3 points. We've heard that kind of sentiment continued. And then a 0-0 draw on the road against LAFC, a very tough place to play. As we look back at this, I feel like overall it is a well-earned point. John, do you feel the same way?
I do. I think it was a very solid game from Sporting Kansas City. I think Peter mentioned that in the press conference. They're seemingly to get better every single week, you know, from the first game to Philly and to now LAFC. They're starting to click. Peter mentioned it, you know, in his press comments, they're starting to get sharper together and kind of come together and build that identity. And it's going to take 10 games, as he mentioned, but to get a 0-0 result out in LAFC, difficult place to play, time change. And then you had a lot of key performances that was great to see. I thought it was a good result going into another home match.
Yeah, I definitely think what you talked about right there is very important for this team, is it feels like they've gotten sharper each and every match. And obviously that hasn't completely turned into goals, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But overall, that sharpness has really been a good positive sign against three tough teams to start the schedule. I mean, we'll preview the San Jose match later, but looking at the schedule as a whole, it's three of the tougher teams in the league to play at the beginning of the year. And then you go up against some teams that maybe you feel like you are going to be able to beat. Of course, Major League Soccer is never easy. It's never a match that one team is heavily favored over the other, but it feels like going forward, SKC maybe have a couple more favorable matchups if you look at it just on paper. Like I said, it never really goes that way in the actual match, but I think the sharpest point of the match was both goalkeepers, John. You know, you being a former goalkeeper, I'm sure we're impressed with some of the showings that we saw out there. Tim Melia making a couple of massive saves, one right at the end of the match to keep it 0-0. What was your takeaway from the goalkeeper play?
You know, I think, honestly, both goalkeepers for both teams had a fantastic game. For me, it was Tim Melia who had kind of the MVP of the match. He had six saves, key saves, LAFC with a higher potential goal percentage. I just think that he said it in the media day press conference. Tim Melia feels like he's, you know, he's not aging. He feels the best he's ever felt, and he feels like he's in his prime. And I think that over the first three games, especially this game against LAFC, he's shown that. And going back to your comments about the team and getting better every single week, I think you want a team that continues to get better every single week throughout the season as you approach the playoffs, as you approach, you know, Open Cup games, championships, so forth. You don't necessarily want a team, and I mean, you can't expect a team to come in first 3 weeks at their top level, because I just feel like it's really hard to sustain that throughout the entire season. So I think it's really promising to see the team continue to get better week in, week out. You know, and then like you talked about in terms of the opponents, the first three opponents, very tough opponents. And I'm not going to say that the next couple are easy opponents. There's no easy opponent in Major League Soccer. It's just, you know, a little bit more winnable of games. These opponents haven't had great results recently. So I think it's really looking up, and it's really in Sporting Kansas City's favor over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I definitely feel like if SKC can go out there and earn 3 points in that match against San Jose, they can really start rolling, getting some of that momentum going. I feel like there is a little bit of weight on their shoulders. They may not admit it and say it, but it feels like there's a little bit of weight on their shoulders to earn that first win. As soon as that happens, it feels like things are really going to start rolling. But we talked about how good the goalkeeper play was in that match, John. Sporting Kansas City's back line this year has been extremely stingy. We got to talk to a couple of defenders, Andre Ufontas and Tim Leibold, earlier during the week about that back line pairing and, you know, consistency that they've had back there. I guess that back four, Tim Melia, even Nemanja Radoja stepping back in that defensive midfield spot. It's been very consistent this year, and that is shown in the way they've defended, conceded 2 goals. They feel like, and I think a lot of us understand, that it really could have been one if you take away that goal against Philadelphia in their first 3 matches. That's something that if that keeps up, even hints of that keeps up throughout the season, they're going to be winning games because they're going to be able to find goals.
Yeah, you know, I think they started off with, in a way, result, right? So that was kind of the first goal, the first check mark. Defense played pretty well. Sure, they could have cleaned a few things up. Then you have your home opener and, you know, maybe a wrong call, whatever you want to call it. They had a chance to snag all 3 points there, had a good, strong performance at home. You got your home opener, and now you've got your first shutout in a very difficult away match against LAFC. So I think you're slowly starting to climb the ladder of those goals that they create by getting that shutout and having these solid defensive performances. And I think for me, the defense needs to be the most consistent part of the whole team, of the whole squad. And I think that that's what Sporting Kansas City has. I mean, dating back to last year, you have most of the same guys. You've kept the same kind of back line and goalkeeper over the past few games. You know, and another thing is Peter didn't make any subs this last game, right? I think that's mainly because of, one, I would say, how fit the team is right now. And two, I think it was also a reward for the players and how well that they were playing in that game. He easily could have made subs in the back line because there were yellow cards, you know? So he could have said, I'm not going to take the risk, I'm going to make the sub. But I think he wanted to reward these guys for how well they've been playing.
Absolutely. It was a full 90 minutes for everyone out there that started in the match. And like you said, it shows their ability to be fit early in the season. But it also shows that these guys, every single one of them out there, if they're starting a match, they want to go 90. I mean, there's players off the bench that I'm sure could have made an impact. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened in the match. But Peter Vermees said it after the match. He felt like those guys deserved to be out there on the field. They earned that spot. And that's an interesting mindset, because it feels like, you know, sometimes it's easy as a fan, as a viewer, to say, oh, we want fresh legs. We want to see, you know, certain guys stepping off the bench and onto the field. But you don't always take into account that these guys out there, even though they may be a little more tired, their mentality is already locked into this game. They've earned that spot to stay out there.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I mean, nobody wants to come off the field, right? And then if you're a sub, you want to get on the field, you want to get some minutes. So, you know, I think it was a good reward, a good thing to see that Peter kept his entire squad out there. And I also think that the team wasn't playing poorly by any means. They weren't showing any tiredness. You saw Alan Pulido. Sure, maybe the first game, it was sort of a sub that they were always going to make, just because of fitness levels and so forth. It looks like his fitness is there. I mean, he's coming back in the midfield, he's getting the ball, he's turning, he's going to goal, and we're 80, 85, 90 minutes into the match. So I didn't see anybody tired where it was like, okay, you know, we probably should have made subs, or, you know, we need to make subs now, whatever it might be. I think, again, they were putting the pressure on LAFC. They were getting chances, you know, great shots by Johnny Russell, Memo Rodriguez with another great shot. So I like the idea, and I think that it's always a good thing to see when Peter's rewarding his players.
You talked through a couple of those chances that SKC had in the match against LAFC. Although no goals were scored, you know, the attack does feel like there's so much untapped potential, maybe is the word to say. It feels like, you know, in talking to everyone around the team, there's really not a lot of panic about the fact that this team has scored 2 goals through their first 3 games. on paper, that's not impressive, obviously. Everyone knows that. You know, if you're scoring a goal or less a game, you're not going to be winning many games. However, you look at the players that Sporting Kansas City have up front, the potential that these guys have. Last year, from May till the end of the year, SKC scored the most goals in Major League Soccer. So it does feel like as soon as these guys get clicking, you know, Johnny Russell's shot against Hugo Lloris doesn't get saved. You know, a fantastic over-the-head save. Memo Rodriguez's shot to the bottom corner hits off the post and goes in. You know, you start catching some breaks, and then the guys really get rolling. I mean, you being a former goalkeeper, obviously you didn't play up top, but I'm sure you played against attackers and with a lot of attackers that as soon as they catch form, they're flying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, close is only good in horseshoes and hand grenades, right? So I feel the pressure for them a little bit building, right? They're wanting to get their first win. They're wanting to pile on the goals. So I understand that. But let's not lose sight in the fact that they did create chances, and Hugo Lloris just had some great saves. And even the match prior, Philadelphia Union goalkeeper had a couple good saves as well. So I think the only match where they didn't create as many chances as I would have maybe wanted to see was the Houston game, first game of the season. I mean, you know, it's going to take time for these guys to click. You know, like you said, they just haven't quite clicked on all cylinders yet. And it takes one goal, two goals. You see it in matches. You know, it's all of a sudden you score the first goal, and then right away, second goal, third goal, fourth goal, and then, you know, you blow out a team. It happens all the time. But it's a long season, and I always talk about sports are games of runs. It's about catching fire at the right time. It's about building confidence. And as soon as you get that first goal, as soon as you get that first win, all that confidence and all that fire kind of comes into the play. And I think that they'll kind of feed off of that and feed off of each other. And I think right now they can feed off the defense. I think they can go, man, we've got a really solid defense. And to be honest with you, too, I think you can also feed off Memo Rodriguez. I thought he had a fantastic game filling in for Remy Voltaire. And that's something that you want to see. I mean, that's a great player that Peter and his coaching staff brought in, and I think that he fit in very well in that match.
Yeah, and in talking about that defense, we did have a conversation with Tim Melia. We'll talk about that later, so stay tuned here on the SKC show. But John, I want to touch on what you just said about Memo Rodriguez fitting into that lineup, you know, for Remy Voltaire, who was injured, was not playing in this match. It feels like SKC have a player in Memo Rodriguez that is very malleable. He can just step into that position and really fit into this squad in whatever way they might need him to. Obviously, Remy Voltaire is a hard player to replace. He's all over the place. He's a very talented player going forward. He can pick out a pass. But Memo Rodriguez didn't feel like there was a massive drop-off. I got the chance to ask Andreu Fontas and Tim Leibold, who played on that same side as him in this match, that left central side, about that connection that they have with him. And they were, even those guys were talking about how they feel like he has stepped into the game and he brings an energy and, like you talked about during the broadcast, a want to take the ball, turn and go forward. That is a very promising sign for a player that obviously wasn't in the starting lineup at the beginning of the year, but can fit right in.
Yeah. You know, and I think that Peter likes guys who are winners, and he likes that competitive mindset. He's mentioned it multiple times this year. And I think that just from the get-go, Memo had that in that match. You know, he got into it a little bit with some players. I don't know if it was just because he was back in LA or you know, and he didn't like LAFC being a former Galaxy player or whatever it was. Maybe that's just him. But I love to see it. He had a little fire to his eyes. And I really thought that he brought a presence there in the midfield. And what probably the thing I love the most about him is every time he would get the ball, he turned and tried to go to goal. You know, he tried to play forward. We've talked about it the last few weeks, possession with a purpose. He would immediately win it back, turn, and start attacking goal. And to build on what we just talked about in terms of creating chances, I think that's great to see him doing that. And it's something that they probably looked at in film this week, and they're going to continue to reiterate possession with a purpose, going to goal, creating those chances with the you know, triple threat up top.
Absolutely. That triple threat up top is going to be something to watch going forward. And, you know, as we talk here shortly about that San Jose match, if those three guys can get clicking, maybe even some players off the bench get involved in the attack and Sporting can grab a couple of goals early and just maybe take that pressure off themselves, it feels like there is going to be some floodgates ready to open in Kansas City. I know Children's Mercy Park is going to be rocking, John. I'm intrigued to see what can happen as soon as those guys get rolling.
Yeah, 100%. Me too. I mean, you have 3 points in your first three games. You know, maybe you can argue two more, but to still be undefeated so far and have your front three not click on all cylinders, I think it's a great sign. Because like you just said, I mean, once they start clicking on all cylinders, I mean, it's a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely. We have a conversation with Tim Melia coming up here on the Sporting KC show. So make sure you stay tuned wherever you're watching, whether it's on a podcast, whether you're watching on video, or if you're here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll be right back with some more on the Sporting Kansas City show. Welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And wherever you may be watching, wherever you get your podcasts, if you're watching here, you can see I'm now alongside Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper Tim Melia. Tim, nice day of training. It was a beautiful day outside. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So first things first, I'm kind of just curious because I haven't asked anyone this quite yet, but for you, you get done with training. What does a day in the life of Tim Melia kind of look like outside these walls?
Transition to fatherhood pretty quickly. A day like today, my daughter is home with a ear infection, so I'm going to run home. I'm going to relieve my wife from taking care of my youngest, Lylan. She's going to go back to work. And then we're going to start the process of picking up my oldest from camp, my middle kid from, it's called JCPRD, and then just hop right into fatherhood.
So you're just dad mode. I feel bad we're holding you with a sick kid.
That's all right.
We're making your life a little more stressful, I guess. But, you know, you guys coming back from Los Angeles, it was, you know, that's always a tough place to play. You earn a point. I guess overall, how is everyone feeling coming back home and you know, having that opportunity now again against San Jose?
Everyone should feel good. We should feel very positive about going into this game against San Jose. I think anytime you have a week lead up, I think that's just a good type of time to have between games for professional athletes, especially soccer, because they do exhaust so much energy during the games. I think the last games there was guys covering 11 kilometers, and that's a lot, and there was quite a few of them. So to have these, you know, 5-6 days of build-up to get ready for another difficult game is something you want, and then also to be at home, be in your own bed, be in front of your fans, just all good things.
And then with two road matches, you're still unbeaten, you know, you earn a point in both those matches. How does that, I guess, is that the goal? Do you guys feel like you maybe deserved more in some of those matches, or do you feel, you know, pretty confident with the way you've performed on the road so far?
I think on the road we've done very well. You know, I would have liked to, you know, keep the shutout against Philly. I think that we dropped some points there, but ultimately we played a good team, and we played a good style of play throughout the game, and we were just unfortunate not to maybe put them away a little earlier. But all in all, I think our defensive performances through the first three games has been really, really good, something that hopefully we see the entire season. And then now, you know, now we got to start coming up with points at home. We got to make our home stadium a fortress and a place where we accumulate a majority of our points.
And you talked to, we got the chance to talk to you yesterday about, you know, earning that clean sheet, the first one of the season against LAFC. And you talked about how it's more than just the back line and the goalkeeper. It's the entire 11 players that are on the field. Kind of expand on that, what that means to earn a clean sheet, you know, as a whole unit.
From a goalkeeper, I think even when clean sheets are being talked about, everyone always first looks at the goalkeeper. And I would say that's got to be the biggest fraud in professional soccer, because a goalie can be the best goalie in the world. Your center backs can be the best, you know, best in each position. But if the collective group is not completely bought into staying engaged throughout the 90, 91, 2, 3, however long injury time goes into, it's so easy to have one minor lapse in a game and get scored on.
And you've had quite a bit of consistency in front of you with those four guys that everyone's been able to stay healthy thus far. You know, you can kind of even include Rado into that a little bit. Yeah. You know, how good has it been to have consistency between all of you guys to start this year?
Consistency really does, you know, translate to results. Once players get comfortable with one another, understand each other's qualities, and even understand each other's downfalls, because we all have them, it allows each other to kind of pick one another up and know when other players have to step into certain positions or just have to, you know, watch out for certain things. And when you can kind of get that consistency amongst a group, everyone starts to build confidence. And then when, you know, you start getting shutouts, you start getting, you know, wins on the road, wins at home, everything kind of just gels and everyone gets comfortable with one another.
And Tim Leibold obviously stepping in and at the end of last season for Logan Ndembe, who was injured. We heard during the media availability yesterday, how we didn't see the best of Tim Leibold last year, and right now we're starting to see him really shine. I mean, just kind of talk about how he's been this year.
Quality, so much quality on the ball. Yeah, he's one of those defenders where he almost could be a midfielder because he's so comfortable on the ball. I mean, I think there was a couple of moments. There's one that's sticking out in my mind, the LAFC game, where he did a left-right shift of the ball around Atuesta, and he did it in the blink of an eye, shifted the ball around him, and then just created space for himself, and then just did a standard pass. But to be able to be comfortable to get out of those positions as a defender is not normal. You know, defenders are normally, run and gun, bang type players, but he's a guy, he's got so much quality in the ball. He wants to get forward. He wants to serve the ball. And I think exactly like you said, as he gets more comfortable, as he gets his game fitness, I think it's only up from here.
And it feels like that is pretty important in the system that you guys play, those fullbacks being able to almost be midfield players, just, him and Jake Davis. Is that something that they really focus on, is being able to get up the field like that?
I think it's also based off the style of play that we do. Everyone has to be comfortable on the ball, and everybody has to want the ball. When there's a player who's not maybe as comfortable or is not willing to show up in those difficult positions with pressure on them, in our group, it's very evident, and we don't have those type of players on our team. So across the back line, whether it's Rado, Remy, Memo played really well the last game, all those guys have to be comfortable popping up in those positions where they're under pressure. They're close to our own goal. There's a potential risk for error, but they have to have the confidence to take that ball, turn, play the simple pass, and move forward.
And talking a little bit about that, at what point, because obviously you guys like to play out of the back, you like to have the ball at your feet, control possession, those kinds of things. At what point do you guys have that conversation of, okay, just get rid of it, versus actually trying to play out of the back?
I think it's an individual decision based off the moment, the time of the game, the score, the things like that. I would say I'm one of the ones that'll always err on the side of caution with that type of stuff, and I think that's okay from the goalkeeper. It's good to see the confidence of, our players very comfortable playing 1-2s in our own A-team. There's a time and a place for everything, and you don't want that to be the downfall of something, but it also puts our team in a very good position, and it disrupts the allocation of the other team's players of how they're stepping to you, and it creates more space when you can kind of break them that close to our goal. Yes, we have a long way to go to the other way, but eventually what ends up happening is the team starts to step back. And then, you start to see that possession more, 75 yards from the other goal, what we're looking for.
That's interesting. I feel like we often see that's a conversation that whenever things go wrong, whoever it is that maybe misplaces a pass or something like that, they always are the one that get flack for it. But usually that's the system a team likes to play in. So, it's always interesting hearing your side of things on that. But in that match against LAFC, you got to play against a very legendary goalkeeper around the world. I guess it's different because, you're both in your own box. You're not necessarily playing against each other. But, what is it like playing and seeing another goalkeeper on the other end of the field that maybe you've gotten to kind of watch throughout your career?
Yeah, it was a cool experience. And you're playing against him in that moment. You want him to have the worst game in the world. But you at least when I was sitting there and some of the saves he made, how impressive he gets out of his set. He's smaller than I thought he would be, because you see him on TV and then maybe they just look bigger on TV, it is, but he's a fairly skinny guy, and he's not as tall as you would think he'd be playing at the places he played, but he gets out of his set and he makes himself look incredibly large when he's diving, and it's basically just because he's so efficient. And I guess to play at that level and to win World Cup and to do all that, you have to be really efficient. So it was cool to see those things.
Yeah, Hugo Lloris certainly one of the biggest names when we're talking about goalkeepers in this century. And you certainly, I would say in some of our opinions, outperformed him in that game. And maybe not in everyone's opinion in Major League Soccer, but it was a great performance from you and from him both to both keep a clean sheet. But it feels like, in talking to a lot of the guys around the team, obviously you're more focused on the back line, but everything going forward, there really doesn't seem to be a whole lot of panic in the fact that you've only scored 2 goals in these first 3 games. Obviously at the end of last year, May to the end of last year, you guys were the best team, in scoring goals. You scored the most goals in Major League Soccer. So I can see why there's no panic, but I guess from your perspective, what makes you feel like there is no reason to be panicked?
Because the guys that are responsible for scoring goals that are so capable of doing haven't gotten going yet. And when they do get going, and it's not a will, it's when, with the combination of how our midfield and how our defense is playing, then it's going to, you know, it's going to look a lot different. You know, I mean, I think Johnny's already hit the crossbar in post two or three times. Allen's popping up in really good areas. Daniel's, you know, being himself, being aggressive, taking guys one-on-one. There is those guys are too good. They have too much quality to be, you know, contained for lengths of games, and it won't happen. So once they get going, I think the combination of just how the rest of our group is, and we need to maintain that consistency, that's why I'm not concerned about it.
Do you think it is something as simple as once they get a couple of goals, it just it starts rolling? Is that usually how it works for attackers?
I think this, I'm not an attacker, but you know, I watch a lot of attackers. I'm back there watching a lot of soccer. It's the type of position where you need to get on a little bit of a streak. You need to get that little bounce off someone, the ball land in the right spot, and then you're there, you know, being opportunistic about that particular moment. So once those guys do get rolling, the quality is going to shine through, and then we just need to make sure that all the other things are continuing, because we know that they are going to get going. Now we got to make sure we maintain doing what we were doing in the back.
And so looking forward at that San Jose match, you know, they came here last year. You guys, it was a tough 0-0 draw. You won in penalty kicks. What's tough about playing against San Jose?
They're aggressive and they have quality. I think a player that, you know, spoken about a lot on their team, Espinoza, and there's a reason for that. He's so good in 1v1, and the team just looks to get him the ball. And the reason they do is because they get him the ball. They can get him the ball almost in their own half, you know, along the sideline. And all of a sudden, he's skirted two players, and he's whipping a ball across. And when you have a guy like that, the rest of the team's almost cheating forward. And when you got everyone pressed forward, and then now you got someone with quality looking to, you know, whip a ball across, it's just a very dangerous situation for a team. So we got to be very, very aware of where he is.
And with him and Jeremy Abobasi up top, it's a very dangerous attack. You as a goalkeeper, how do you kind of approach those games when you know there's certain players that are really dangerous? You know, what's your approach?
Just making sure you know where, you know, those type of guys are. I think a team like this that looks to go down the wings and whip the ball across, I think the initial ball going out to the wing is even more important than the central runs, because if we can block the balls going out wide, we don't even need to worry about the guys running in the middle. So for us, it's going to be our fullbacks really balanced well. And then even when the ball is on the opposite end, we're going to have to maybe be a little wider defensively to make sure that cross or that switch that comes, we know will come at some point. We're completely aware of it, and we're proactive about it. We're not reactive to it.
And so you're going to be back in front of your home fans. Just talk about how that atmosphere was in that first match this season, and then what you would expect this weekend.
It was great, because it just picked up exactly where it was last year. I think that with some of the results we had last year, there became a lull in our stadium due to our own fault, nothing to do with the fans. But you could feel the energy was still kind of rolling over from the year before. And it's up to us to make sure that we're having quality performances on the field so that continues, because we know that we'll get the support. We know that everyone will come out. But we got to make that place fun to play in, exciting, lots of goals, and make sure we're winning all our games at home.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys very much.
That is Tim Melia here, the starting goalkeeper on the Sporting Kansas City show. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have all of the preview for the San Jose match here on your home for Sporting KC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And welcome back into the Sporting Kansas City show. Myself, Blake Arney, alongside John Kempen here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you haven't already, make sure to follow Sporting Kansas City on Instagram, Twitter, X it is now. Of course, I say that every time. It's not funny anymore, John. Facebook, TikTok, whatever you have. I'm trying to just list them all off right here.
Yeah, I don't have TikTok. That's kind of after my time. But you're welcome to follow me in Sporting Kansas City on Instagram and Twitter.
There you go. Okay, John. You know, it is kind of tricky to keep up with all of the new social medias. I know Sporting's involved in all of them, like TikTok and everything. But, you know, John, I feel like I'm going to need some coffee and need some energy to stay up with it. But luckily, I do have some Parisi coffee, which is fantastic. They actually released Parisi, a new Diamante. It kind of is a playoff of the Sporting Kansas City Diamonds Hour Forever kit, the Espresso Diamante from Parisi, a new coffee affiliated with SKC. It's a good one, I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, how do you like your coffee? I like my coffee black, but, you know, long days, obviously with the time change this last week with daylight savings and the late match, I've needed some coffee this week.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, John, I was never a big coffee guy, but more recently I've kind of started drinking a little bit more coffee, and I have only drank black coffee. I don't really like adding much to my coffee. I don't know if I'm crazy for that, and people listening right now might think I am absolutely a lunatic, but that's how I do it.
Well, that makes two of us, because, you know, I might throw in a little bit of stevia, though, like sweetener. One of my favorite things when I was playing was on game, you know, on match days, away match days, we would all have breakfast together, and I'd wake up, kind of go down early and grab a nice cup of coffee. It always had to be in the ceramic mug. For whatever reason, ceramic mugs with coffee are way better than, you know, the paper kind of cups. So that was one of my, it's a weird moment, but that was one of my favorite things to do while playing.
I do agree. I'm not a fan of the paper cups. I've got a travel mug. If you ever see me out, you know, at training or wherever I am, I usually have my little metal travel mug. That's my go-to for coffee. I feel like it's way easier. But anyway, John, let's get back to the important stuff. We're getting a little too distracted here with our coffee and such talks, our TikTok talks, whatever it is. I need to get focused up here, John. Sporting Kansas City, they've got a big matchup coming up against San Jose.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge match, right? Another home match for Sporting Kansas City, another opportunity for the crowd to get out there and kind of see the new improvements to the stadium. You know, and I think it's a great opportunity to get Sporting Kansas City's first win, right? You know, you're going up against San Jose opponent. Like I said before, I mean, all MLS teams are difficult to play against. You never know what you're going to get on any given day. But this is a team that has lost their first three matches, that only had one win in preseason. And, you know, we discussed how consistent Sporting Kansas City's back line has been this year. One thing that San Jose hasn't had is consistency in their back line. They've given up 7 goals in the first three matches, bottom of the table in the league, bottom of the table in the West. So regardless, they're still looking for their first win. So I think it's still going to be a tough match. They're going to come out. They've got nothing to lose. They haven't even had a draw. And I think they're going to come out and try and get a result here in Kansas City.
Yeah, absolutely. They're always a team that when it comes to tough matchups, they're a tough team to play in bigger games. I mean, obviously this is 4 games into the year, so it's not a big game, but it does feel like it for Kansas City, it feels like it is a slightly bigger game than normal because this team's playing well, but they haven't earned that first win. I don't want to say this is not a narrative I'm trying to start whatsoever, but it does feel like this is a match that in Sporting's mind is one that they feel like they need to win. I'm not trying to start the narrative of it's a must-win game 4 games into the year, but in their own mindset, I think they see this as a game that would be massive for their momentum going forward.
Yeah, and I don't know what Peter's saying to the team in the locker room, but I think you want to win every match at home, right? So I think he probably went in saying, okay, well, we want to win the first three matches. But if you see the result against Houston, I think he's going, okay, first game of the season, away match, a result, a 1-1 draw is a good result. Now we come home, we got to win. You know, we got to put on a show in front of our fans, and we got to get a win. And I think they did that, obviously, until the last couple minutes. And then I think he goes, okay, we're playing a very good LAFC team away. I think it's another opportunity to get a result and try and squeak in a goal and get the win. And I think they had a fantastic game. And now you come back home, and I think you're looking at San Jose, another opponent. I think you're looking at getting your first win. And I'm not going to say must win. I mean, it's so early in the season. But I think they're sitting there going, this is a great opportunity. And kind of anything but a win seems like a disappointment.
I think they probably would share a similar sentiment. You don't want to take any – you don't want to put any or too much pressure on any match this early in the year. But I definitely think that is the mentality around this team as of right now. And John, in all reality, the last 3 times San Jose has come to Kansas City, Sporting has played well defensively. 3 straight shutouts, including 2 last season, 1 being in the playoffs. It was a 0-0 draw that Sporting ended up winning in penalties. But the 2 matches prior to that, SKC won both those matches in Kansas City with a shutout. If they do that again, you've got to think that they can walk away with 3 points, right, John?
100%. And I think, you know, that 3-0 kind of victory and smashing, I believe that was the 10-year reunion of MLS Cup. So it was kind of fun to be there with everybody. But, you know, like you said, they've had success as of late. That wasn't too long ago, right? I mean, I know it's a new season and so forth, but they played them pretty recently. And I think that, like I mentioned before, this team coming off of 3 losses, I mean, their morale and kind of their confidence right now is down. And I think if there's any game for this front 3 to start clicking, to start catching fire, like we're talking about, this is the perfect time, right? This is a team that's allowing, you know, they've allowed 7 goals in the first 3 matches. So defense might, not entirely sure, haven't seen the injury reports quite yet, but defense might be a little banged up for San Jose, you know, might give a little more opportunity to the front three to get some goals, especially off of the chances that they created against LAFC and the confidence that they're going into this game.
Yeah, you talk about that back line. I think you mentioned it early in this segment that San Jose has not had a whole lot of consistency at the back. I believe there's an injury to Acapo on the fullback spot. And even outside of that, they haven't stuck with their same back four, their same center backs. They've kind of been rotating, trying to find what works best for them. Obviously, that's normal at the beginning of the year. You're trying to figure those things out. But at the same time, from Sporting Kansas City's perspective, you look at that and go, okay, we have the consistency. We've been happy with our defensive performance. Let's go out and try and take advantage of the fact that San Jose hasn't had that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think that head coach Luchi Gonzalez for San Jose is still trying to figure out his team. I mean, sure, you know, it takes a couple games to kind of get used to that, but it looks like they didn't have much success in preseason. They were trying to figure some things out, try different things. And it still looks like he hasn't found his starting 11 yet. He's not quite sure who he should play in there. And it's kind of evident with obviously the losses that they've had. And not to mention, you know, Sporting Kansas City went to LAFC. It's longer travel, different time change, stuff like that. I mean, I don't want to say that affects it too much, but it's got to affect a little bit San Jose now traveling to Kansas City and time change. And you know, obviously the atmosphere is going to be fantastic. So it's going to be difficult for them. It's definitely going to be a difficult match.
Yeah, and you mentioned coming back home. Sporting Kansas City wants to make this place, Children's Mercy Park, that is, a fortress this year. I've heard that from a number of players, from Peter Vermees. They talk about how they want to be a team at home that is hard to beat. They were that in the later portions of last year, it felt like. Obviously, in the playoffs, they won both of their home matches, the one in against San Jose in penalties and the one against St. Louis. They won both of those matches. I think that's the identity that this team wants to create. Tim Melia talked during the week. It wasn't in that interview that when I was talking with him just in that prior segment, but he talked about how they don't want to try and make any statements yet about the team that they are and this and that. But at the same time, I think there is that mentality of we want teams to fear coming into Children's Mercy Park like we've seen in the past. I mean, it's been a fortress in prior seasons when SKC's been near the top of the Western Conference and years that they've won the Western Conference. And if they can get back to doing that, there's no reason, or if they can get back to making that place a fortress, there's no reason they can't continue to be near the top of the Western Conference.
No, I agree. I mean, you make that place a fortress, it's one of the most difficult places to play in the league. You're going to get points. And as Peter's talked about, you're going to be competitive. And as you continue collecting points each week, you're going to make the playoffs. And then, like we've mentioned, catch fire at the right time. And obviously, the goals and aspirations for this organization are trophies, championships. You know, so I think he's spot on with that. And I think that it starts, you know, honestly, it starts this weekend with getting a win, getting 3 points, and then continuing to build off of that.
Yeah, and you know, you look back, we talked about how that most recent matchup against San Jose was in the playoffs, a 0-0. I think both teams approach this game differently because it's not a single elimination type match. You sure. know, you're approaching it as any other regular season match. I think that does change the way you play, especially when it gets later into the game. I don't think you are playing for penalties like we maybe saw in that match, because obviously there is no penalty kicks in the regular season. But San Jose going forward is a dangerous team. I mean, they obviously have only scored 2 goals this year, but a very similar attack to Sporting Kansas City with Jeremy Abobasi and Christian Espinoza. If those guys get on form and if they are able to score a goal or two against Sporting Kansas City, they really can get rolling. It's 2 of the more dangerous attackers, I would say, in Major League Soccer.
I agree with you for sure. I don't think that Abobasi has had a great start to the season so far, but he's a type of player that, you know, he's a top attacker in this league, and regardless, he's always going to be dangerous. You know, the production just hasn't been there. But Christian Espinoza, one guy you mentioned, I think that he's a huge key to them. I think he's going to be one to watch on Saturday. But I'd also add Jackson Yule. I think this is a guy who's been on the team for a couple years now, and he's sort of been their engine, right? He's sort of been the leader of the team. In my opinion, he's been their best player for them this season. So I think he's going to be key for them. If we're talking about key players on Saturday, I think he's definitely going to be key.
Yeah, Jackson Ewell, a player that's been mentioned in U.S. men's national team camps. He's been around the U.S. men's national team, has played in big games for the U.S. So he's absolutely a player to watch, like you just talked about there. And that attack going through Christian Espinoza, as Tim Melia talked about in this podcast, in this this edition of the Sporting Kansas City show, that he's the guy that they build their attack through. They want to dump the ball off to him. They want to get him in possession so that he can go forward and harm you, because he is so shifty. He's so good on the ball. He can dish it into the 18 and create chances for the guys around him, as well as he can cut inside and he can score. So when you talk about players to watch, in my opinion, Christian Espinoza, if SKC can shut him down, I think they'll give themselves much better odds in this match.
Yeah, I agree with you. Obviously, the number 10, he's the type of guy that we've talked about is crucial to the midfield. You get the ball, you turn, you look to play it forward, you don't play it forward, you start dribbling, make the defenders, you know, kind of close you down, press you, and then once they do that and they're out of space, playing balls in behind. So also, not to mention, his free kicks are pretty good as well, and his service. Yeah. So I think he's going to be a key one for the Sporting Kansas City midfield and defense to take care of.
And speaking of that Sporting Kansas City midfield, John, you teed me up perfectly right there. Teed me up. Back to the golf. You know, we're all over the place. We're firing on all cylinders. You know, that midfield, Remy Voltaire obviously missing the last match. Memo Rodriguez, as we talked about, stepped in and we thought played his role very well. But Remy Voltaire has been back in portions of training. We'll see how that progresses throughout the week. Obviously, this is going out Friday. We don't know what's happening on Friday or Thursday or Friday in training. So we will still see what happens with Remy Voltaire. But if he is back in the starting 11, I do think that that is a strong addition for SKC to have him back. But also it's big to continue that consistency, because we continue to hear about how consistency is so good for this team, something they didn't have at the beginning of last year. And if they can start putting 3 points under their belt and continue to have that consistency, that's how the snowball effect happens. And that's how you start to see those stats where SKC are the best team from this portion of the year to this portion of the year.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, he's obviously been with the team since 2021, so he's been a big consistent key to this starting 11. And I think that he had a fantastic goal, obviously, you know, so far this season. So, sure, Memo Rodriguez had a really good game. I mean, we didn't miss a step when he came in. But I think that Remy Voltaire just brings a different presence as well to this team and a different leadership. He's just, because he's, one, a great player, and two, has been on the team for so long. So hopefully, you know, I don't think we know yet, but hopefully he plugs back into that starting 11 and can build on that presence that he's kind of had in the first few games. And like we talked about, I mean, close down Christian Espinoza. I think he would do a great job of that.
Yeah. And we obviously, like you said, we don't know. And it does feel like if Remy Voltaire is healthy, he's going to be in the starting 11. He's a hard player to keep out, even though Memo Rodriguez seemed to have a strong performance in that match against LA. John, when looking at this matchup coming up against San Jose, are there some positives that you look at from LAFC that you directly translate to what can help SKC win in this matchup against San Jose?
Yeah, I mean, what I really liked about that was the possession, first off. Like, that's something we haven't even talked about. The possession was fantastic. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it was something like 60% possession, maybe a little more than that. Which was something we did not expect. I thought that their passing was 88% accuracy, which is, you know, very good, obviously. And so the build-up play I thought was there, and I thought that what I really liked to see was they were swinging it back and forth, and then when they found their right moments, they would either switch the point of attack or they would play forward, and obviously caught LAFC off guard. Something else I really liked is their defensive pressing, which we've talked about the defense the entire time. So I think that would be key. I know that San Jose's in the past been known for kind of high pressing, you know, kind of all over the place, more man marking, if you will, which will be something for Sporting Kansas City to look at. But I think that they also created a lot more chances. And like we discussed, Hugo Lloris had a great game. So There really were a lot of positives in that last game. So I think that the big one here is to continue to keep that solid defense and that defensive mindset, but now continue to build, you know, build off creating chances and going forward with the ball and keeping possession. Because as you keep possession, you just wear teams down and start to kind of create holes and, you know, creates more chances for your attacking three.
And absolutely, we're going to continue to talk about that defense from Sporting Kansas City, John, because when you give up two goals from your first three games and you have a clean sheet against one of the better attacks in the league, I mean, it's pretty darn good, especially also when you've only scored two goals from your first two games, or first three games, rather.
Yeah, 100%. And then, you know, another thing to mention, I guess, as well, is just obviously the fitness levels. I mean, the one thing that I have loved so far this season has been the attacking players, the midfield players getting back on defense. I mean, you see Daniel Shalvey every single week, Eric Tommy as well. They're running the entire length of the field to help defend. All, you know, everybody has bought into this defense. Everybody has bought into kind of defense wins championships, right? That's what it feels like, at least from a fan and from a spectator, which has probably been my favorite thing to see this season so far.
And by the way, it was 61% possession against LAFC, yeah, which is a very impressive right stat. Yeah. Yeah, it's impressive, especially being on the road. In my opinion, that's part of the most impressive part about that. I think you're absolutely right in talking about looking forward at San Jose. That's going to be the way this game plays out. Is SKC is going to have more of the possession unless they go up a couple goals early on. You know, that's where San Jose is going to have to take more of the ball. And obviously, situationally, things change. But if this game stays close for a little while, SKC is going to have a lot of the possession, and they're going to have to be purposeful with that. And they're going to have to create those chances going forward. And then the most important of all is finishing those chances, which that front three, if they can get going in this game, John, it's dangerous for the rest of Major League Soccer. I'll say it right now.
Yeah, I agree. And we haven't talked about set pieces either. You know, obviously set pieces have been a huge part of Sporting Kansas City's success in the past, and getting Danny Rosero involved, you know, he's obviously an extremely dangerous threat on those set pieces. So one thing I'd like to see them do is definitely continue to work on those set pieces during training throughout the week, and get a goal off that. I think that's another goal that they probably have, you know, on their sheet. I don't know exactly what kind of those smaller goals that we've talked about to help achieve that large goal. But for me, it's, you know, win set pieces, whether that's defending, don't allow goals off the set pieces, but also attacking, try and get some goals off of corner kicks, free kicks, whatever it might be.
Danny Rosero, 3 of Sporting's 6 headed goals last year. So he is definitely one to watch off those set pieces. But John, if fans haven't already seen all of the excitement around Children's Mercy Park with the new additions and the new lights and the new board and all of those things, it is time to get out to Children's Mercy Park. If you haven't, you know, you can go and grab your tickets, sportingkc.com/tickets. It is a great atmosphere out there with the lights, with all of that. It's really something that I feel like is on the cutting edge. Sporting Kansas City, even though their stadium isn't brand new, it feels like they're really keeping it up. And I'm excited to see what they add for this new match, because that's what I've heard some rumblings around. There's going to be more.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. I think every match they're kind of adding in small kind of fan engagement, fan experience things, which will be cool to see. I think there's also family pack night, something like that. I think it's $25 a ticket for 4 tickets, and it comes with a drink and hot dog. So I think that's another thing. It's encouraging to get kind of the youth out there, you know, and see these guys. I mean, I was sitting there watching the Wizards back in the day at Arrowhead, and just really fell in love with the game and fell in love with the players. So it's cool that they're doing that as well. But I think that the fan engagement overall in that first match was unbelievable. And, you know, from the sounds of it, it's going to just continue to get better throughout the season.
So Sporting Kansas City is set to take on San Jose, 7:30 Central at Children's Mercy Park. Like I mentioned, if you haven't already, go grab your tickets, be out there. Me and John will be out there. It's going to be hopefully a beautiful day from what we're seeing. Another nice day in March. You really can't complain out at Children's Mercy Park. But if you haven't done that already, go ahead and do that. We're excited about it. But that's all we've got here on the Sporting Kansas City show. So thank you so much for tuning in this week, whether you're listening on a podcast or you're here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're so glad that you've joined us. Make sure to tune in next week as we will be back with more on the Sporting KC show.